Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
What's it like to run a flower farm? Let's go in-depth with Meredith Nunnekoven with Barn Swallow Flowers. So Meredith, we're sitting at Barn Swallow Flowers. People can hear the birds, they can hear the highway, the traffic going by. And we have a special guest today, Bella the dog, who might interrupt.
Yes, our wildlife distancing manager. She's a part of our operation and really integral to pest control. Who would have thought?
Well, you just showed me the operation. We took a tour, and it's pretty amazing what you have here. I mean, it's how many acres?
Yeah, so we operate the flower farm on about 2 acres just with annual production. And then the farmstead sits on about 10.5 acres with perennials scattered all around it and an extra 3 acres where Airbnb sits. And that also has perennials and flowers that we access for the flower farm.
And you showed me some CRP that's just so much flowers, so many different things there. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so if you farm and you have acres that you want to set aside for non-production row crop purposes, then you can put that in CRP. But our government now encourages you to upgrade that CRP to help a specific population. Maybe it's birds, maybe it's deer. We chose pollinator, and so it's just chocked full of species like Rebecca, Monarda, wild aster, and we went over there and it was like a field of gold. I call it the golden area, essentially. And we also pull flowers from there if we need to. But yes, thousands, millions of seeds were installed on about 100 acres to serve our pollinators and birds and other species that like low brush areas.
And then you've got I don't want to spend too much time on this because we've got so much to talk about. You've got a bunch of acres in chestnuts now.
Yes, we have 6 acres in about 6 different types of chestnut species. They came from Redfern Farm in Wapello County. And yeah, 560 of them were put in lovingly with help. And some are 2-3 years old, and they're just starting to come out of their tree tubes, which help insulate them from weather, pests, other harmful, weather conditions. But I'm really excited. Some of them are already 10 feet tall, so we're hoping to have chestnuts for a value-added product, which I have yet to disclose, and also U-picks. People could come out and pick chestnuts in September and October as another way to interact with our farm. And it will be organic. It'll be organic produce that people can also eat and enjoy in this area.
Well, tell us about the main portion of the flowers that you sell.
So a majority of the production of our flowers are on this 1.5 to 2 acres. We grow everything from cold hardy annuals like bachelor buttons, things that I'm planting in the ground in March directly by seed, stuff that likes the cool weather, to hardy summer annuals, anything from a marigold to sunflowers, zinnias. We have a wide collection of several hundred species that we started from seed back in January and February and planted here directly into the ground on the farm. And then what we do as a value-added product, we not only just grow the flowers as farmers, but then we use our creative energy to create beautiful arrangements that are sold directly off the farm. You can order for anything from funeral to bridal. And then we also do pre-sale pickups for the weekend called our weekend bouquet. We are doing some market appearances this year, but really we want to stay on the farm because that's where we cultivate and do our best creative work, right here on the farm for pickup on the farm. That is the best, most economical and profitable model we can have here in Oskaloosa.
More in depth after this.
We'll be right back.
I continued my conversation with Meredith Nunnekoven with Barn Swallow Flowers.
You've got a black fabric surface pretty much everywhere in that part. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we really struggle with weed and weed suppression. There's also the issue of lack of rain this year and retaining moisture. And so we have moved primarily to a model of using fabric, landscape fabric, that does allow moisture content to come through it, but also shade out weeds, pesky weeds that want to come up. And that basically happens because we do a lot of fertilization in our soil, either through chicken manure or worm castings. And that this year needed to also be irrigated. We've not received very much rain at all here in our part of Mahaska County. But what that has done is retained a lot of the moisture that we're putting into it as well. So we actually have quite a good flower crop, even though our weather conditions haven't really been suitable to only outdoor growing. We don't grow in hoop houses. We really seek to work with nature and the elements of nature, grow the species that are conducive to outdoor growing, species that like to grow in these tarp-styled functionary practice. And also, we can reuse the tarps every year. So once we're done with our growing season this fall, we'll take them up, we'll fold them, and then we'll reinstall them the following year. So it's kind of an investment this year to put that in, but we just knew we needed it to be able to scale up and grow some of the things that I really love to grow.
And so you said that you burn a hole.
Yes, we actually
with a torch. Yeah,
yes, we actually take a torch. You can buy them in your local store, and you turn it on and you burn a hole in the fabric. And different holes are spaced in different ways for different types of flowers. So you really need to know your flower, the flower habitat, if it's going to need a lot of space next to the other plant or not. We tend to really like to pack things in because weeds will still come through those holes by the plant. So the tighter we plant them in general, the less sunlight a weed has to come up and disturb that plant and take the nutrients and soil away from it.
And so you talked about a couple of times of kinds of planting. What are your terms? Direct planting?
Oh, yes. So we direct seed, which means I take a little tiny one-seeder planter and I'll put my seed in there and plant rows of that. And then there's like our annual planting by hand. So that's what's put into the tarp. We'll take all our seedlings out of the flats that we've grown since the winter and we'll go out together and put those in by hand. That can also be done mechanically. There are other new devices. There's something called a potapuki, and you can actually drop the seedling into that hole, and it'll make a hole for that seedling through this shoot and plant it for you. We're not to that scale yet, but there are ways to help you plant things so you're not bent over all day for hours on end, you know, putting seedlings in the ground.
And tell me about the plants in the crates.
Yes, so there is this whole movement, and there has been for many years. Traditional growers have done it for a long time, called crate growing. All our Asiatic lilies, which now are pollenless, we grow pollenless rose lilies and pollenless Asiatic lilies, are grown in crates. And that just alleviates some of our weed problems and management. When it's in a crate and I really have no weed pressure, all we have to maintain is the water. And what do you know, it shoots up a beautiful flower. We harvest it, and it's fairly good experience for us. Also, gladiolas. I love gladiolas. I'm bringing it back. I'm growing these beautiful tulip, double ruffled gladiolas this year because I feel like that's a part of a connection to a garden that a lot of people have with Iowa. Their grandmother or their mother always grew glads in their garden. It's such an affordable bulb for people to invest in and then turn around and sell it. And that's what we're growing them in crates for the first time this year.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Meredith Nunnekoven with Barn Swallow Flowers.
And tell me, you have a bug management system,
yes,
too.
Yes, yeah. Man, pests. Don't we all know them, right? You plant this beautiful garden, and then something comes along at night and just eats everything. And so one way we're able to combat that chemical-free is put in what we call beetle banks. And I really encourage, if you have a garden space, around that garden should be a 4-foot space of either native or perennial plantings that are really bushy, like something like yarrow or hyssop. And good bugs can essentially hide in there at night or during the day and lay eggs to make more of them, like a ladybug or maybe a praying mantis. And then they come in when these bad bugs come to try to eat all your stuff, like aphids, and eat them. And they love to eat them and eat many of them at a time. But if you don't give a space for those bugs to hide to do this process, they're going to be too far away to get into your garden to help you with that process. So make sure. And what we do too is along our annual beds, we have these safe harbor beetle banks just for them to live so they can help us with our pest population that really quickly can get out of control, like in a day or so if you're not on top of it.
So it's a natural ecosystem.
It's a natural ecosystem. That's why we don't mow our rye field surrounding our flowers. That's basically because we want those bugs to stay in there and live in there and take care of pest problems that we all see, but it's just another option of naturally doing it.
And so you told me that you have a plan where nothing is planted anywhere on the farm unless it serves some purpose. Tell me about that.
Right. We made the commitment many years ago to say, well, if we like things and we want to invest in things, it needs to at least serve a purpose. So, for example, we really love hydrangea, but we only pick species and grow hydrangea here on the farm that are actually great for cutting. So, for example, a limelight hydrangea or a lace cap hydrangea, we're more apt to invest in those types of hydrangea versus some of your other varieties. They just hold better in a vase. They're easier to cut. They produce more blooms. So those types of things are very important to us because we want to use what we have and have what we use. Planting things that we can't make a profit from or use for some purpose, if they can be used for a beetle bank but they can't be cut, okay, that's fine. But if they can be used as a cut flower and be used in a beetle bank, like your yarrow and your hyssop, that's like a double win for us. We call it a double threat. And if it can do more, like it's able to be dried, it's a triple threat, maybe a quadruple threat. But if it serves a purpose and in addition we can cut it and make money from it, those are the types of plants we want to be growing on our farm.
When you were explaining to me that some of the plants, in fact, maybe most of the plants, are things that you can pick and then they keep growing. It's not like you pick them and they're gone.
Yes, cut and come again. We love cut and come again fresh cut flowers. And that means when you go in, you want to probably cut out the top 2/3 of it and it will regenerate another bloom. The thing about cut and come again flowers, which may be different from other states, in Iowa, is things tend to bolt. Bolting is a problem in Iowa because of extreme shifts in temperature, right? And so you may buy a flower and it blooms and it's only 6 inches tall. Well, what we first do is called pinching, and we'll pinch back that bloom in order to encourage it to branch out. And that branching helps us to go in and cut and come again the flower. So we'll cut the blooms, we'll cut them at a certain stage so that small leaflets at the bottom of the cut will then produce another flower maybe in 2-3 weeks' time. And it's important to stay on this so you can continue to create regenerative blooms on these types of plants. Some of those are like zinnias and cosmos, for example, are really good examples of cut and come again flowers.
Okay, so how do people order the flowers? How do they get them? Can you tell us that process?
Yeah. So we think of ourselves as traditional farmer florists. So anyone can call us and order a bouquet for pickup here at the farm. We also do deliver locally. Now that July is here, our garden is flushing again with more available product. So we are fully open for arrangement orders. We also sell to brides an a la carte menu of everything from making your bouquet to DIY buckets. Anyone can call us for DIY buckets for their own event of any kind. That's our favorite way of getting rid of flowers, is cutting them for someone to enjoy, and then they get to work with them on their own. Also, we have what's called the weekend bouquet at the Little Blue Barn. You can pre-sale buy this beautiful small bouquet and pick it up at your leisure Friday to Saturday from 2 p.m. to dusk. And the Little Blue Barn is an air-conditioned space just for customers, so they can pick up when they can get here to the farm. We also have a CSA membership. It is closed, but that serves for June, July, August, and September. The July members will be getting their bouquet for July very soon. And we also are going to market this year. We've been at Thursdays in Pella's Farmer's Market. We've been enjoying talking with people and getting to know them. And it's a way for us to be available, engage with customers in person when maybe we can't do so when they pick up at the Little Blue Barn, and or if we just deliver and they ask for us to deliver it to somewhere and we actually never get to talk to the person who paid for it.
This is very creative for you, isn't it? You're a creative person. I've known you since you were in high school, I think, and you've always been creative.
Yeah, I would say farming has always been a part of my life. Flowers is a medium for me. So it just kind of goes together. So I get to be a farmer and a creator at the same time. Now, does that make it easy? No. It makes it a little harder, because sometimes all I want to do is make bouquets with what's in the field, but I have to go out to the field and manage that crop first before I can do that creation. And so many people either only grow it or they create with it. We're trying to still bridge that together to be as seamless as possible. And that's why things like the Little Blue Barn serve a great purpose, because by the time we farm it and create with it, a lot of time has been spent in doing that and we're rather tired. So the way that people can help us is by pre-sale buying on our website, so that we can do both of those things efficiently and productively on a creative level.
Any last thoughts you'd like to share today?
Oh, I'm just so happy to see you here, and this is how I want people to enjoy Barn Swallow, where we're sitting under a tree and talking about farming and growing and sharing knowledge of someone's passion. And this is my passion, but also people should know, like, we can only continue this passion if you support us. And growing in the style that we do and providing such a unique product in this area to our local community does take money. And we do support other people and their livelihoods. And it supports my livelihood too and keeps me here working on our farm and helping my dad farm and sustaining our farm into the next generation. That's one thing that I look for, is legacy and sustainability. Those are really important to us. So please give us a call. You can support us by buying our bouquets coming to market. We have some events coming up as well. So we hope to see you there and come and get to know us and what we do. And oftentimes sharing in person just is a part of developing relationships, and getting to know people can turn into sustainable working relationships as well.
Thanks to Meredith Nunnekoven for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in-depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.